Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are in class with Joshua, Lessons about Walking by Faith. In this session, we'll be looking at Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, Crossing Your Jordan. The two spies return from checking out the land and the city. They escape discovery with a little help, and then they gave their report to the general. They were excited about the prospects. Joshua chapter 2, verse 24. Truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. That was the news Joshua had been waiting for. Immediately, he dispatched runners throughout the camp of Israel, announcing that first thing the next morning they would break camp and move to the banks of the Jordan River. And then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they crossed over. That's in verse 1. But as they arrived, they discovered that it was not crossable. Verse 15 provides the picture. The Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. The normally gentle Jordan was now a raging river, swelled to flood stage. Currents can reach up to 40 miles an hour when the Jordan floods. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, wrote that the plain that surrounds the river was filled with tangled brush and dense growth. Just picture the scene. The river had swelled over its banks, spreading about a mile across, ranging in depth from 3 feet to 12 feet, covering over thick undergrowth that could easily trip someone up and throw them into the overwhelming currents. That was the sight that greeted the people as they pitched their tents along the river. They spent the next 3 days right there, the raging water wearing down their confidence moment by moment. Can you relate to the emotions and thoughts of Israel? You know, many of us face our own personal Jordan that feels so powerful that we don't even want to try to make it across. Your life feels stalled, stuck on the wrong side of God's promises. You read about the abundant life, but you can't seem to get out of the wilderness. Churches can feel that way, possessing the promise of something great with God, but blocked by all kinds of barriers. But God can turn a no way into a highway. The question for Israel and for us today is, will we walk by sight or by faith? Do we really believe God can handle the impossible? Joshua chapter 3 demonstrates something that is echoed throughout Scripture. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Luke chapter 18, verse 27. He knows how to get you from stuck to triumphant, and He reveals the steps you need to take to experience a God-sized future. He is the God of the uncrossable. Let's look at God's way to cross over our uncrossable Jordan. First, we must follow the movements of God. Look at verses 2 through 4. So it was, after 3 days, that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. When you see the Ark of the Covenant carried by the priests, break camp and follow it. What did this command mean to the Israelites? In order to understand that, you must look inside the Ark. Inside the Ark were the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, the symbol of a relationship with God. There was a jar of manna in there as well, a reminder of God's provision the past 40 years. You read Exodus chapter 16 and verse 33, and you'll see that. Aaron's dead rod that grew leaves and almonds was in there as well, a testimony to God's power to accomplish His will. That golden chest was an Old Testament equivalent of the New Testament Emmanuel, God with us. When the Ark of the Covenant led the way, it meant God was out in front of His people. He would take the first steps into Canaan. Their task was to follow His lead. Verse 4 laid out the procedure. Keep about 1,000 yards between yourselves and the Ark. God was very particular about the distance from the Ark. He wanted to make sure they could clearly see which way He wanted them to go. Many centuries later, the true Ark of God, Jesus, would come among us. The Ark contained the Ten Commandments. Jesus fulfilled the law, Matthew 5:17. The Ark contained the jar of manna. Jesus is the bread of life, John chapter 6, verses 31 to 46. The Ark contained Aaron's rod, a symbol of God's power to bring life out of death. Jesus is alive from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 commands us to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In this life, we are continually entering the future, moment by moment. A future filled with challenges, with words like cancer, creditors, crisis. It's easy to conclude that we're stuck in the wilderness, away from God's blessing. And we can do this as the church as well. We look at the bottom line and we conclude that there's no human way to get where God promised. What do you do when you're facing the impossible? Do what Peter did, walking on the water. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 to 30. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Peter walked on water until he took his eyes off Jesus. He saw the waves. He remembered that people can't walk on water. And then he began to sink. We must focus on and follow the movements of the Lord so that where He leads, we follow. Second, we must prepare to follow the Lord. Verses 5 and 6. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. The Hebrew word sanctify means to prepare, to dedicate, to be separate, or set apart. God was telling His people that if they were going to cross the uncrossable and follow His will, they must be set apart to Him. They must be holy. And that involves two things. First of all, it involves repentance from every known sin. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. One reason our way gets blocked is sin. Achan's sin brought defeat to Israel. The night before one of the greatest days in their history, Israel was commanded to be sure they were right with God. And then spiritual awareness of God's activity. Consecration in the Old Testament involved washing your clothes, abstaining from sex, changing your work schedule, and other routine activities. They deliberately interrupted normal functions in life by God's command to be on spiritual alert. He was about to do amazing things among them. To cross the uncrossable, we must focus on Jesus to follow his movements and set ourselves apart to see the Lord's activities. And then third, we must step out and trust God. Verses 7 to 13. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, and that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests to bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan." So Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand as a heap." The moment of truth arrived. The priests had to step into the floodwaters and stand there. God's command called for them to get their feet wet. Faith moves you forward in God's will. There is a moment when you must act on what God has said. If you don't, you'll never cross the Jordan. Focusing on the Lord is essential. Consecrating yourself is vital, but you will never cross unless you step out in faith. Our eyes and our heart can be right, but if we don't move our feet, we will never progress in God's work. Notice an important principle in verse 8. When you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. After they stepped out, they stood still. Why? They were waiting on God's power. Dependence. They acknowledged it was God alone. Look at verses 14 through 17. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. Then, so the waters that went down into the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. And then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Just imagine that scene. Standing near the banks of the river with the armed warriors with their swords and shields. Next to them, the men along with mothers and helpless babies. Some of them may have been born that very day. All around them were flocks and possessions, ready to move when God opened a way. All the people were looking toward the ark, which was on the shoulders of the priests, who were wading out in the shallow waters of the river. Everyone was ready, clean and hard and spiritually alert, waiting for what only God could do. The step of faith had to be taken. Now they were standing still, and the people became quiet as they watched. Then they saw the water begin to recede. It was dropping fast. Upriver, the waters piled up in a great heap. The riverbed was suddenly dry. In fact, it was bare all the way to the Dead Sea. The noise of the rushing river was replaced by the sound of God's people moving into the Promised Land. I don't know about you, but I want to see God do what only He can do. The church in the book of Acts crossed over some impossible situations repeatedly because they took steps in faith. A Jordan of some kind stretches before your life that is too much for you. You must believe that nothing is too difficult for God. You must focus on Jesus and follow Him. You must repent of all sin and set yourself apart to Him. And you must be ready to move when you see His work. You think about that. And you have a great day.